Asaph begins with a declaration. It says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. It has a good beginning, but then he says that he stumbled over that reality as he looked down around the world around him, as he looked upon the prosperity of the wicked, he says. And poor old Asaph just got into a funk. It was really that he could really see no good at all as he looked around him. And this idea of trusting in the goodness of God was something that he began to struggle with. In fact, he said he himself almost stumbled just with regard to the fact that this idea that God is good. And then he looks around and sees a situation where to him there was no good. And probably I'm thinking about this just in light of the fact of all the circumstances that surround us in terms of the pandemic, in terms of all the social disorder, whatever it may be, whether there's discouragements, disappointments, and all those kinds of things. Sometimes it's hard to see any good. And Asaph fell into that trap, and he began to fall into distrust. But you remember that poor Asaph came to his senses. He came to his senses, he says in verse 17, as he entered into the sanctuary of God. He looked at the word of God. He began to consider the glory of God, and he recovered his senses. And when he, in fact, he says before that, he said I was embittered. You know, sometimes, the righteous can become embittered. He says, I was pierced within. He was feeling it in his innards, the struggles and the difficulties and the disappointments and this prosperity of the wicked. He says, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute. And so sometimes I'm not sure exactly what mood you come tonight. Maybe you don't come as brutes. I don't see anyone that feels maybe brutish within or maybe bittered and pierced. But if Asaph was able to recover and come to a good condition in the sanctuary of God, then certainly we ought to be able to, as we come tonight to give thanks. Because he did recover. And God in his mercy opened his eyes, and he began to take hold of some realities. And these realities are what I'm just going to summarize them and keep it simple, or it wouldn't be a brief devotional. First of all, in verses 23 and 24, he mentions what I would call four stabilizing realities of God's goodness. This is what, when he came to his sanity, his spiritual sanity, and recovered himself, this is the realities that began to stabilize him. And I think these realities that stabilized him are the things for which we ought to give thanks always for God. Here's the first stabilizing reality. He says this, nevertheless, I am continually with you. I mean, of all the things that we ought to be grateful, it is the communion that we have with God. It is His, really His commitment to us. And so as we think of everything else, we may find people that flake out in their commitments, you know, to us. Maybe friendships that fail, or husbands that fail, or whatever. We find failing in all of that and disappointment in relationships. And yet the relationship that we have with the living God is one which He Himself has sealed by the blood of His Son. And we are continually with Him. Even as we gather tonight, we have the blessing of the divine presence. And so we ought to give thanks. We ought to be full of thanks no matter what. Whether I see any good outside of me, I have the great good with me, the God Himself. But he says another stabilizing reality for which we ought to give thanks. He says, thou hast taken hold of my right hand. I lost it. That's kind of what he's saying. As I looked at this world, I began to lose it. And I began to lose even that faith and that trust that there was any goodness around. And he says, you took hold of my right hand. I was about to fall apart, but you kept me. And that is a glorious reality. This is a steps of a man, as the Proverbs writer says, they're ordered by a God. They're established by God. And it says God delights in his way. That is, in the way of the righteous man, he delights in his ways. And then it says, when he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hands. And what did he have? He had a renewed confidence of God's commitment to him. He will hold. In fact, I mean, that would be another song we could have sung, because we love the song, He Will Hold Me Fast. I mean, that's a glorious reality. And he does. That's the reality. He does hold us fast. And so we ought to be grateful, because we can hold on. Sometimes we want to fall apart. But God holds on and he keeps us. And sometimes we may go pretty far, but not ultimately out of his reach. And that's the blessing of being in his hand. The other reality is this, and this is the third reality, this stabilizing reality. The stabilizing reality is he keeps us. That really is it. But notice he says this, and with thy counsel, you will guide me. You will direct my path. That's the other problem, is oftentimes we just lack wisdom. And yet the reality is God himself, by his Spirit, by his word, will be faithful to guide us in the way that we need to go. All our wisdom begins when we realize we don't have any wisdom and we need to rely on his. That's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of God, and the confidence that all my guidance and wisdom will come from him and his word. But then notice what else. The fourth stabilizing reality, out of all of the midst of this, it says, afterward, you will receive me to glory. You know, the afterwards is kind of an interesting word, because, you know, afterward, we live in the midst of that. We haven't got to the afterwards yet. We're in the midst of all of the mess. That's kind of what he was. I'm in the midst, but in the midst of the mess, in the midst of all the apparent iniquities and disappointments that he saw that challenged his confidence in the goodness of God and trusting him, then he had this other stabilizing reality came afterwards. This isn't it. This isn't the end game right here, folks. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. We enjoy one another. We can enjoy fellowship, but this ain't the end. Afterward, you will receive me to glory. And that's the path may be unclear, but the destination is certain. And that's the wonderful thing. Psalm 84, you know, God has put the highways to Zion in the hearts of his people. And it says every one of them will arrive. That's our confidence. We ought to be a glad people, because glory is our destination. Glory is our certain hope. I mean, and we've lost some of our own, even in the last months, the month here. But you know, they're in the afterwards. They've been received into glory. God has kept Bill Young when Bill Young could not keep himself. God has kept Rudy Medina when Rudy could not keep himself. Both of those brothers we know were marked by dementia and decline. And you wonder, and probably their wives wonder, what are they thinking? And you know what? They didn't know what they were thinking. But God held them fast, and God received them into his glory. And that's the wonderful reality. We are really weak, but God is faithful. And so here is the great glory. And Derek Kidner, in his commentary on the Psalms, basically says, when you get all those realities together, you get this. You get grasp, guided, glorified. You know, and you say, does that sound like anything in the New Testament that we've ever heard before? Those whom he foreknew, what he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. Grasp, guided, glorified. In other words, it's a certain hope that we have because of God and his grace to us in Jesus Christ. And in the verse that follows that in Romans 8:30, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, and that's really what he's saying. That's what the psalmist is saying. God is for us. And that ought to be such a for us in that he will hold us, he will remain with us, that he will guide us, and he'll receive us into glory. Now, those are the stabilizing realities. I just go now to the last four. And here it is. This is verses 25 through 28. I just call these the satisfying realities of his greatness. I dealt with just what I would call those stabilizing realities of his goodness. But here's the satisfying, because this is what I want you to, this is probably what I was thinking about. There was a time in my life, and normally I don't get those times, but it was before I was a pastor. It was in the law practice. And there was a time when it was just kind of a very difficult situation. And I found myself just thinking much like Asaph. I just said, but I was thinking about it this way. Well, you know, the way things are going, I could lose my house. The way things are going, you know, I could lose that. And then I began to say, well, you know what? I could lose my wife. I could lose my children. You know, and then I said, what do I have left? You know, well, that's the blessing. What do we have left when we lose everything that there is? We have God. In other words, here is the blessing. Everything can be taken away, but nothing substantial, nothing permanent, nothing glorious, nothing great, nothing that will take care and give us everything that we need. And this is where he goes. Notice what he does. Here is the blessed passion for our souls. God is the blessed. Look what he says. And if I come to this, then it's like, you know what? It doesn't make any difference whether we're meeting here or meeting out on a desert, whether we're meeting hungry with empty bellies, or maybe sitting in some cell like many are, bearing the marks of abuse and beatings because of our faith in Christ. Because this is what every believer can say. Even if there's no good around, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth, I desire no one else. I desire nothing on earth. This is my supreme delight. God is the heaven of heaven. Remember, Luther said, if Christ isn't in heaven, I don't want to go there. And if Christ is in hell, I'll go where he is. You know, in other words, he realized what the real treasure is. It's God himself. And this psalmist has a right mind. When we're in our right mind, the great reality concerning us is that this is God is our portion. God is our great help and hope. And this is he's the glory of heaven itself. He's the glory of glory. And having the hope of the Lord. And really this one is really interesting. It says, whom have I in heaven but you? And literally it's almost like who for me or to me? Who is for me or to me but God? God in heaven. And so that's the blessing that we have. Thou, one of the psalms, an old hymn goes, thou its light, speaking of God, thou its light, its joy, its crown, thou its sun which goes not down. That's our delight. And that's our desire. My supreme desire. Notice what he says. Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. How do we get dissatisfied? We start going after lesser things. How do we get dissatisfied? We become preoccupied with all these other things rather than he himself. And this is the blessing. Asaph now is envious of nobody. You know, he said earlier, he says, I was envious of the arrogant because I saw the way they prospered. But now he's envious of no one because he has the better portion. He has the better desire. To him, God is better than all wealth, honor, prestige, and all worldly peace. He'll be like Paul, who considers all things loss, and then yea, even rubbish for the sake of gaining Christ. And that's what we gain. That's what we have. That's what we possess in Christ even now, is this God who is so worthy, this God who is enough, really this God who is more than enough. We're just like that guy that stumbled in the field in Jesus' parable in Matthew 13, who stumbles upon hidden treasure. And you remember, what was the response? For joy over what he found, he garage sales everything. Everything's expendable. Everything can go because I have found him. And so the reality is that's what we have. We have Him. And that's why we ought to be the most, is there anyone, anything better and more glorious than God Himself? I mean, how, you know, in one sense, every deprivation really is, doesn't put a dent in our, what would you call it? Our asset sheet? I don't know what, you know, I don't know all those accounting terms. But I mean, whatever it is, I mean, this is it. Having you, we have Him, we have everything. All I have is Christ, we sing. You know, and we don't sing it like this, do we? All I have is Christ. I mean, this isn't a claim that we're, you know, we're out of luck. No, all I have is Christ. And He's all. You know, and that's enough. And that's, you know, it's a celebration of plenty. You know, we're rich whether we have anything else. And if everything else is gone, our richness is in no degree at all depleted. And so that's the benefit, the blessing of being Christians, and this is, and of being His own. Let all our earthly fullness be taken away, and we'll still remain full. That's the reality. There's nothing, this is Spurgeon, there's nothing more excellent or desirable than God. Let us then desire Him only. And it's wonderful to desire something that we possess. I mean, there's a lot of things maybe we desire. You know, maybe some of you would like a Tacoma like mine. But you know what? You probably will never get it. You know, but desiring God, He is pleased to be desired and sought after. Seek Him and you will find Him, and He will give all of His fullness. And there is nothing, a Tacoma is nothing, you know, it's nothing. Now don't scratch it. Okay. But that's me. See, that's my problem. No, we've got an asset. We have a God who is so glorious that everything else is nothing. And so this is the desire that we can have fulfilled all the time. This is incredible. The most excellent being that there is, the fullest being that there is within the reach of our faith, and we can enjoy Him. So that's the first one, just a blessed passion for our souls, but He's also a blessed portion in my need. Notice what He says here in verse 26. He says, my flesh and my heart may fail. I mean, notwithstanding all of the other things that aren't good outside of me, I have the problem of weakness and mortality within me. And he says, these things may fail. I mean, I've got a multitude of trials, disappointments, deprivations, diseases, but even the prospect of death itself. All of these things are implied in what He says here. But He says this, but God. And you know, and again, that's that reality, but God. But God, you know, but God, I, you know, everything's taken away, but God, I have this God, but God, not only in terms of my feebleness, it's His faithfulness, the reality of my inherent, mortal, afflicted frailty is no ground for despair on two counts, because He is the strength of my heart, He's the rock of my heart. He's the bedrock. He's the foundation of my heart. He will hold me up. I can only fall so far. And where do I fall? I fall into the arms of the gracious God. I mean, I live under the net of His kind sovereignty. I'm always in it. And so this is the blessing that I enjoy. He's the strength. He's the rock of my heart. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is in Christ Jesus. And so I've got a foundation that will uphold me. And He says, my portion forever. All that God is, all that He possesses is ours. If God is my portion, I mean, isn't that interesting? My portion? He belongs to us. He commits himself to us. If God is my portion, then what do I have the benefit of? I have the benefit of his omnipotence. If God is my portion, then I have the fullness of his grace. If God is my portion, I have the fullness of his wisdom. If God is my portion, then all of his goodness is mine. Everything that he possesses, all of his riches are mine. And he bestows them according to his wise goodness. This is, and it says that he is my portion. The text says, forever, forever. I'll never be indigent. I will never be indigent. I will never be without a rock. I will never be without this blessed portion. But also, he goes on. He's a blessed relation for my good. Notice what he says. I'm skipping over verse 27, verse 20. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. It is a good thing to have God near. Now, you would say, most of you theologians, God's everywhere. That's right. When the Bible speaks of nearness in this sense, it means that he's near to us in his favor and his salvation. The nearness of God is that we are near and dear to him in the person of his Son. The nearness of God is our good. Do you have any good? Yeah. Our good is God. Our good is his portion. Our good is that he's our bedrock. Our good is that he himself is this one who is for me in his nearness. And how near is he? He's as near as his Spirit indwelling us so that we can call him Father. Yeah, and so these are the blessings we have. Thou art my Lord, David says, and I have no good besides you. Do we really think that? I have no good besides you. In other words, do we really now have a right evaluation of what we enjoy? We ought to be so thankful because he is so great and so good. All other goods are just lesser goods. All other good really, in a sense, is no good without him. All right. And then finally, in my brief thing, a blessed refuge for our praise. So what do we do? You know, what do we do with this God? You know, this God, we trust in him. We rely on him. We look to him. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. I trust in him that I may declare his excellence and his praises and give thanks for all he's done. We trusters. In other words, the more we trust, the more he himself shows the greatness of his glory and his kindness to us in all things. And we will never lack for things to give thanks to him for. And that's what we've come to do. We've made him as our refuge. And so this is our opportunity to give him praise, this wonderful portion that is ours. Beloved, we're so fat and full that we don't even realize it. And don't measure it by anything that we're wearing. Don't measure it by anything that's sitting in the parking lot. Don't measure it by where we meet or what we possess. It's all in who we belong to. And that's it. And so I suppose it doesn't get any simpler than that, it doesn't get any more sublime and excellent than that either. That God is our portion and blessing. So let us tell of his works. Let us give him glory. That's he's worth it, isn't he? So enough said. And we can only wonder at every gift you send, at blessings without number and mercies without end. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give praise, but I'm going to read one first from Reg Powell. Reg sent one, and he said, "This is my Thanksgiving prayer. Most merciful God and Father, I thank you for all your gifts of mercy and grace, not least of which is the enduring love and devotion of my dear wife, Margaret, who is a constant source of my happiness and joy. I thank you for the love of our congregation, for the faithfulness of our pastor, our elders, and our deacons. Thank you, dear Father, for bringing me through my recent successful heart operation and steadfastly encouraging me with upbuilding messages of concern and prayers from my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear Father in heaven, I see so many blessings around me, too numerous to mention, and I know that all good things come from you, dear Lord, for which I am so very grateful. I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen."
And so if anybody wants to join now, Roger.
Roger, you can, if you want to, you can stand there or you can come up and speak in this voice magnifying instrument. Oh, okay.
I have just a few words to say. They won't be much. It won't be as long as my brother Rick's.
Hey, hey.
Nor as eloquent, I might add. But I just want to say things change. We're going through change with the pandemic we're going through. There's other things that change too, but God never changes. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I praise him for that. I just wanted to say we've from a large family. We have three children, but 13 grandkids and almost 10 now great-grandkids. So we've always had large Thanksgiving crowds, and this year it's going to be small. It started out we were only going to have 3, and then it actually went up to 7. We have some of our kids that called from Clovis to be with us, but it's going to be smaller, I'm sure, for all of us. And so I just wanted to say that no matter how small it is, if it's just the word says, if we're just gathered 2 or 3, God is going to be in our midst. And so I give God praise for that. And no matter how few we are, we can just give God praise and just give him all the glory. And I just wanted to say thank you to God for that, for the family that we will have together. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Cherry Yates' birthday is today. She's 78, and one of the helpers there gave her a little Christmas tree today to stick in her little apartment. And she wants everyone to know that she is very grateful for everything that many of the saints have done for her in the last few months and longer. And she's been very encouraged by those who have written cards and wanted to let you know that she's slow on getting back, but she wants to get back on those cards to you. She loves to talk on the phone and welcomes calls from the folks here. She would love even more visits, and you actually are able to arrange for that, to do that. They have to be prearranged, but she's allowed to meet with 2 at a time for 30 minutes outside on her patio. So she's encouraged. She's waiting results, or she has, I guess, what you would call maybe heart failure, kind of that, I don't know if you'd call it chronic heart failure. So she's undergoing exams and everything else, but she's encouraged and hopeful, and she's just waiting. The doctor chewed her out, I guess, for not taking a certain pill, and she was grateful that he was kind of a sergeant on that. Just pray for her, but she is grateful, and so anytime you can think of some kind of means of encouragement, especially to one of our elderly saints that are kind of, in a sense, locked away, locked down, you can still, you know, see them. So take advantage of that. Any others want to offer, you know, before I start calling names? I'm just teasing.
I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
I'm grateful for God's faithfulness to our body through these interesting times. It's been sweet to see his sustaining grace on this fellowship here and in my own family. Some of our temporal graces are more permanent and lasting and more of a blessing than others, and marriage is a good one. And my son got a bride this year.
It looks like Luke is still smiling.
So I gave a daughter in Megan, and God has been good to these two, and God's been good to us, and so praise be to him.
Tom and Becky Maiden expressed their regret at not being able to come, but Tom sent a message as well. It says, "We are giving thanks for the selling of our father's house yesterday following a number of extended delays over the past month. I miss my father and the home I grew up in, but Christ has promised to prepare a place in his father's house for us that he may receive us to himself. An eternal home, an eternal father, thank you for all your prayers. We give thanks for all God has done through his people, our elders, and our deacons this past year in the face of the many challenges presented. God's kingdom will prevail. This is eternal life," he writes out of John 17:3, "that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Happy Thanksgiving to each of you. May the love of Christ be with you all." Give another opportunity to give thanks, and there'll be one more after this. Kevin.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
No.
So I just want to start with my thankfulness flows out of, and when we read this, objects of mercy who should have known wrath were filled with the unspeakable, with unspeakable joy. And I just think of many years ago now, just coming to the Lord and coming to a place of understanding total depravity and deserving hell, thankfulness just flows out of that, deserving nothing, and yet God has been so kind and faithful beyond belief to somebody that shouldn't have been, well, I don't know how to say it, but I mean, I'm just so very thankful. I'm thankful for him bringing me to a church where I have received the Word of God in truth and clarity for so many years. And God blessed me with an incredible wife who loves me, again, somebody that didn't deserve that. And I experience that every day. And we have these wonderful boys that I love dearly. Again, they have sat under the teaching of God's Word, and they know the truth, and I'm so very thankful for that. And one of the neat things about getting older is you get to look back and see God's sovereign work, difficulties, incredible joy. It's just a whole mix, and it's all by design. From a perfect God who has ordained those things for us, for our good and his glory. And I just want to give him praise and thanks.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, everybody. I'm back here. I am really thankful to God that he satisfies. I know the Beatitudes, and you know the Beatitudes say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I'm grateful that I have a sense of satisfaction and purpose and meaning and reason in life. I have the opportunity to, it's an odd thing, but bear with me for a second. I like to ride bicycles, and I mountain bike with a bunch of guys that are very fit athletes, and that is their satisfaction. And they're good at it, but that'll fade. And I feel so blessed. Tuesday nights, about this time last night, I was out on the bike with these guys and just thinking, with Tom Power, as a matter of fact, Pastor, and just telling him that I pray for these guys because I get to go home at night. And I have wonderful earthly props, my wife and all that she provides and my friendship with her. But I get to go home at night and say, I have the Lord, much like in Psalm 73. I do not... at times I fail and lean on things I shouldn't. But in the end, I know this. I want to die well. Lord, help me die well, because he's my satisfaction, and that can't be robbed. Everything else can be robbed. I want to take these guys I ride with and shake them and say, come on. But you know how that goes when you have somebody that hurts your heart and you wish they would come to the Lord. But I am so glad we have a God who satisfies and will continue to. And finally, that'll be perfect satisfaction in heaven. So looking forward to that part too.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, everybody. Naomi, can you hold the mic for me, please? Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you to the Lord for so much. And there's been a song that I've been listening to lately, and I wanted to read you the words because it's just part of what I've been feeling a lot lately. I got so much to thank God for. So many wonderful blessings and so many open doors. A brand new mercy along with each new day. That's why I praise you. And for this I give you praise. For waking me up this morning, that's why I praise you. For starting me on my way, that's why I praise you. For letting me see the sunshine, that's why I praise you. Of a brand new day. A brand new mercy. That's why I praise you. Along each new day, that's why I praise you. For this, I give you the praise. You're Jehovah Jireh. That's why I praise you. You've been my provider. So many times you met me, my needs. So many times you rescued me. I want to thank you for the blessings. That's why I praise you. You give me each day. For every mountain that you brought me over, for every trial you see me through, for every blessing, hallelujah, for this I give you praise. And I thank God for his sovereignty over my life, even through, I'm not going to try not to cry, even through a lot of trials that everybody knows about. I'm not going to get into detail, but you've read my emails. And I'm thankful for God's sovereignty over my life, because you know what? He's still going to fulfill his purpose. And he's still going to fulfill his purpose for other people in my life. Because you know what? In the end, I still have Christ. I have my identity in the Lord. I don't have my identity in my job. I don't have my identity in my home, which is something that is coming up lately. I don't have my identity in my salary or in my car. I got my identity in Christ. And nobody can take that away from me. And I thank God for letting me stand up and say this, because we have all in our lives lately have gone through so much. Whether losing a loved one or losing your job because of COVID or whatever we lost. But ultimately, like Pastor was saying, it's nothing compared to Christ. Nothing. And even through more trials coming my way, and coming our ways. You know what? It's because God is allowing these things to happen in my life. And I'm learning to trust him with everything I have, not knowing how things are going to turn out in certain things right now. But I can stand here and say that I can praise him and look to him and say, it's okay, because God's got me. The Lord has got me. The Lord has his hand on me and my kids. And me in my life. And he's still going to fulfill his purpose for me. And my children and my life. And he's going to fulfill his purpose for you. And what he's doing in your life. But I'm here to say that I'm thankful. For all these things that he's been putting me through. Because it's working out my faith. I'm working out my salvation. I'm not sitting back and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to happen. No, I'm working with the Lord. We're working this together. And I'm learning how to stretch my faith. So if anything that I can say tonight is trust the Lord, because we have to. We can't sit back. But I'm thankful for allowing me for that. Thank you.
Amen.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Pastor. After 31 years, maybe I've shared a couple of times without crying, but I might do it this time. Okay, don't look at me. I am so thankful to the Lord for almost 51 years of a wonderful marriage. And 51 years, that's a milestone. And my husband, who works very hard at trying to be an understanding husband to his wife, who can be a little nutty and hard-headed many times. He says no right now, but he needs to say yes. And then 50 years in the Lord, which is just such a blessing to be able to say that, how God grabbed a hold of me 50 years ago when our daughter was just a babe. I can say I pretty much floundered for 20 years trying to search the scriptures and know God and understand what it meant to walk in His Spirit and be obedient and love Him. And then 31 years ago, Pastor and Penny came, and the Lord just opened up His Word to us, and we got sound doctrine. And it was like being saved all over again, coming to know the Lord all over again. And I am so thankful that God protected my heart and kept us here in this area where He could teach us and grow us. And it's just wonderful. And then I'm thankful for our daughter, who is such a blessing and has grown into the loveliest Christian godly woman. And I call her a Proverbs 31 woman because she really is. She seemed to her household well, and her children, our grandchildren, only one that we know for sure is saved. Not, we pray for the others that love their family, love their parents, and are obedient. And even in their older age, they love to be together. They love to come home. And so I'm so thankful for my grandchildren, my son-in-law, who is a total blessing. I can't even say. He's just a wonderful son-in-law. And then just more recently, you all would be so tired of hearing me say how good God was to protect me from a more dire situation than I truly was in, with a tumor that was in my throat area and non-cancerous, and I'm very thankful for that. And I had a wonderful surgeon and doctors, and a few years ago I had no doctors, and now I have like five. But I've had a ton of tests, and lots of them heart tests, and they're all good. So I'm very thankful for that. And the Lord is just good to keep us and protect us, and He has held me fast. And He will continue to do that to eternity. And I long for that day when I'll be like Him and I'll see Him as He is.
I know better than to follow my wife, but I'm getting bruised here by the Holy Spirit. So I need to get up and thank the Lord for all He's done for me. And it's not as scary as I thought it would be. But I have to say, everything my wife has said, I couldn't have said it better. I thank the Lord for bringing us here. I thank Him for our child. just the fact that it was a blessing in herself. Pastor Penny, you've been a blessing to this church more than you know. And I just thank the Lord for all that he's done.
I think after Becky speaking, you know, we're sort of like out of words, but I just want to take the opportunity to say thanks, you know, thanks to God for his unfailing love, for his word disclosed to us, because, or to me, I should say, for the opportunity that he has given me to see his word and to be disclosed to me and to understand that and to hold fast to him, because I have seen his promises on his word. And I do want to thank also for the preaching in our church, for the fellowship of the saints, and thank you for my family. And as the pastor was saying tonight, that we are sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I thank God for sealing my children through the blood of his son. This year, Michael and I celebrated our 26th anniversary. We're not a perfect couple, but we thank God for allowing us the time together and to be long-suffering to one another. I have lived half of my life with him, so you can figure I'm 52 now. sorry, Michael. Anyway, there was back in, I think, February, I was very sick and I got to stay home, so I missed pastor message. And since our messages are not put on, direct, you know, live stream right away, I got to listen to somebody else preach. But it wasn't his preaching that I want to share with you. He said it was at the Valley of Vision prayer. And I sat, because I couldn't get all the words right, I sat and read the whole book on one sitting, and I couldn't. It's not from the Valley of Vision, so I don't know where it came from. But it's a very beautiful prayer. And he talks about praising God, and we're here tonight to praise God by giving him thanks for the wonderful things that he has done for us. So I hope you can understand me now. He said, "Thou hast done for me all things well, has remembered me, distinguished me, and indulged me. All my desires have not been gratified. By thy love deny them to me. Even when fulfillment of my desires will have proved to me wrong, my trials have been fewer than my sins." I think this is such a beautiful sentence. My trials, and I can attest to that my trials have been fewer than my sins. "And when I have kissed thy face, it has fallen from thy hand. Thou hast often wiped away my fears, restored peace to my heart, to my weary heart, chasten me for my profit, and thy work for me is perfect, and I praise thee." Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lorena.
It's been an interesting year. When I got into the restaurant business, I always said to myself, you know, people always got to eat, so I'll be in business forever. And in a pandemic, when they're not allowed to come eat, you know, that's a problem. But God has been just so good to us and to our family. It was kind of scary. Just everything's taken away, and you know, the frustration, and you can, it's really easy to get angry, and, you know, I have to confess that. But but God's good. You know, he's got us through it. And even though we're having some more closings and openings, and it's just kind of like we're just, at this point, God is with us. We know that he's our rock. He's our strength. And no matter what happens, we're going to get through it. And just so thankful for God and just his goodness. Because at the end of the day, it's all about him. And he's faithful and he's good. And just thank him for bringing Bonnie through a trial this year as well. And thank you all here that helped during that time. We really appreciate it. In the hospital and everything. And just so thankful for the body here. So.
Just want to give thanks to the Lord for all the good preaching we hear here and the instruction and for the fellowship. And I've been getting to know the ladies more. My name is Gwen. I know a lot of you don't know. You're not as familiar with Roger and I, but we haven't been coming that long, but we sure appreciate God's word. And the first time we came, that's what we were hungering for. We said, well, we want to hear God's word. And I think we told the pastor that. And he said, well, you're at the right place. So that encouraged us. And so, and then I've been reading the brochure that you hand out. I've been doing that this year, and that's been a real blessing to me. And I've never done that before. I've been a Christian for a long time, but I've never disciplined myself to read, you know, from Genesis to Revelation all in 1 year. No. And so I've been doing that, and that's been a blessing to me, and to really get the overall picture of how God works with people and with Israel and his people, and how they kept failing him, and still the Lord says, you're still my people, and he would still go after them. And I said, that's what the Lord does for us. He goes after us. And even in the middle of a pandemic, and even in the middle of health issues and problems, the Lord's still there. And one day, I remember just recently, I was really, really tired and weary, you know, within my heart, all this stuff that's been going on. I said, Lord, I don't know how much more of all this we can take. And so then I started thinking, you know, I started thinking about our God, how sovereign he is, how big he is. And I started thinking, you know, God never has to sleep. He never has to take vitamins. He doesn't have to worry about eating. He doesn't get tired and weary like we do, you know, and that's who we serve. And so that's how we tap in and ask God for his strength to endure. We ask him to get us through to the other side. We ask him to help us to finish strong. That's what we want to do, is finish strong with the Lord. And that's what he wants for us too. He doesn't want us to give up in the middle of the stream. And he is faithful, and he will perform. He will take care of us, and he will get us to the other side.
Well, I'm going to start local and be overtly grateful for having found this church body and been blessed with the preaching of God's word in a very straightforward way from his word, and being well fed in that way. Well beyond worldly wisdom, which is almost vanishing before our eyes some days, and having been a amateur astronomer for over 60 years, I'm certainly awestruck with the biggest picture that portrays, and vocationally, I'm aware of everything down to virus size as well. And all of that is wondrous. But as awesome as that is in the creator of it, the architect, the designer of it, his person is more impressive still, as the hymn put it, the song, his lavish grace. What a remarkable God, and as you become familiar with what people over all history have called gods, and what their attitude was to those people, toward them, this is a unique one for having really much to do with us in the first place, but also because he came to walk with us. What a remarkable abandonment of his sovereign place. And then his welcome. He's not the narrow neck of the bottle, as they say, to the flow of that grace. We are. And that's a person to be followed.
Amen. Leonardo.
Leo. We all have a lot to be thankful for, but I'd like to be thankful for the great love that everyone here has shown me, and even the great hospitality that some have showed, and I know that the sweetest gift and the sweetest reward is indeed, you know, that of God and that of Christ. So sometimes you try to find ways, you know, to give back so many ways, and you think, well, the Lord's got something better and there's nothing I can give. But I think so much of the Jude towards the end, where we see, you know, kind of a command in a sense to keep yourselves in the love of God, keep yourselves in the love of Christ, and to really try to understand what that means, and something we cannot fathom, but God has given us little ways to be able to see that. And I thank so much for that little book we were talking about last Sunday, Rutherford, when he starts to put the love of Christ in so many different ways, many one time, really, to see it as kind of a curtain. So think of like a play, you know, when a curtain's opened, it's a whole new, you know, scene. It's a whole new thing. And it seems as if every time you come to Christ, there's a new one open, and it's a whole new scene. It just never gets old, and just gets better and better. And there's a constant seeking. And as Bennett said, you know, no matter how much you hunger and thirst, not only will he give you enough to satisfy you, but even more. And that is, you know, the most beautiful thing of Christ, how willing he is to give us his love and give us his grace and give us himself, really, and to realize even in these times and how much really all we have is Christ. You know, we sing that so much, but, you know, do we really know what that means, and have we really seen it in our lives? To know what it means to only hang on to Christ and to come to those moments. And how sweet that coming is to him. And as really the writer of the Hebrews would say, you know, all of these great prophets, you know, all of these men, yeah, they lived by faith, but, you know, as exiles in this world. You know, they were not of this world. And God had prepared for them a heavenly city, and so much as we to live outside of all these, you know, things and all these things going on with, you know, COVID, and the world just seems to get, you know, worse and worse. But, you know, God has prepared for us a heavenly city. And even though, even me right now, I say that, you know, I really don't know what that means. And I can't grasp the fullness of that and all the love that awaits us there. As Paul would say, you know, this light momentary affliction, it's really just preparing us for an eternal weight of glory that beyond all comparison, you know. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, the love of Christ, but do we really know that love?
Let me give just a couple more and finish these and then let if someone else wants to give thanks. Betty Hill says, I am thankful for the Lord's persevering grace in the midst of challenging trials. I am grateful for his for caring friends and those I consider family. I am grateful for his protection of our church, even with the adjustments due to the pandemic. Most of all, I am thankful for salvation and the promise of eternal life in him. Love in Christ, Betty. And then Ted Merriweather sent a text message. He always knows that we like these occasions and that I like this occasion. He says, I'm so thankful for you and FCC. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. So those are all the written ones. Are there any more verbal ones? Where? Oh, we see that hand, Ethan.
Okay, we have much to be grateful for, and considering how I'm a child of God and reflecting upon that reality, it is very humbling because just as Nebuchadnezzar said, that God is able to abase the proud. And it is true. Because God is good, because I know I was saved recently. In fact, I'm not even 2 years old, because I was saved last year. And as you all know, at least for those who heard my testimony, I confess my salvation. But it is a good reality that I'm thankful for, and that's what I am thankful for, that God has saved me, because it has been a while. I was able, God, through his sovereign ordaining all events and even my own life, he had let me continue in my sin, and which is really to say that he let me do what I wanted to do because I did not want him. And then when it came time in his perfect plan, he had saved me. Then again, I do not deserve it, but that's what God chose. And that's very humbling to know that the infinite personal God of the universe would choose a sinner such as I. And even knowing that even though God has given us much grace and I am saved and I still stumble and God has not rejected me, that is more humbling, but it only reveals God's gracious heart and God's abounding love. So I have much to be thankful for my very existence, and the reason why I'm not burning in hell and fire and brimstone is a reason to rejoice and give much thanks. So God is good.
I am very thankful for this congregation. My mom and I have been attending I think about 2 or 3 months now. And it was a blessing when I went through and had a heart procedure in August to get a call from you, Pastor, and support and prayer from the congregation. And about a week ago when we thought my mom may have had a stroke, and thank goodness she didn't, but just the prayer and support and the call from you as well during that time. You're a true shepherd, and we appreciate that. We appreciate getting the word of God here at the church and just the warmness of the people here at the church and how they've been so kind and welcoming to us here.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I would have to say that I am thankful for the saints of God and for this church and for the blessing that ministry, while it has its challenges and disappointments and its burdens, they are indeed far more overcome by the blessing
of His grace manifested, you know, in you people. And that's the joy of our hearts. There have been challenges, as you know, many of you. I mean, it's fairly common. There can be a challenge and a disappointment and discouragement and a challenge to my dear bride of, now I can tell you, we've almost been married 50 years, and that's about half Penny's life. And, oh, wait a second, that's not right. No, that's, okay, no, forget it. But, no, but she puts up with me, and that's a lot of grace. And my family knows it takes a lot of grace. But it's one of those things where I've never regretted being a pastor, especially, this is only one I've been a pastor of. So I've never regretted being a pastor of this flock. And because God has been so kind. God has been so kind as to manifest His grace in your lives. And that's always the joy of us as elders, is to see you people going on in steadfastness of faith. You know, it's that's the gratitude that I give to God because of His grace in your lives, and it just reminds me of His faithfulness. And I Charles's word was a good word, that idea that the neck of the bottle is, it's not that God is without fullness of kindness, and you know, it's oftentimes we're just kind of slow in the uptake and receiving it, you know. And I think the idea that there is leftovers. I mean, the 5,000 are fed, and all, you know, that all that we can offer sometimes is just our little pieces of bread and our little fish, and that's all that we can sometimes offer, and that's all that ministers can offer. But God, in His grace, multiplies it, you know, in the hearts and minds of His hearers, manifests it in life, and that is a real joy. I am grateful and glad for this church and for God's grace in your lives, and it is our joy. And we're thankful actually for your friendship. We're thankful for your fellowship. As little Benny says, sometimes it brings a smile. You know, he says things bring a smile to his face, and that brings a smile to my face as I think of you guys, all of you. And so thank you for your faithfulness and your love of the Savior. Father in heaven, we thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord God, will you fill our minds and hearts, our minds with understanding, Lord, our hearts with appreciation and affection and growing delight and desire for you. Thank you, Lord God, that your grace does abound and your loving kindness is everlasting, and that you are our faithful God, our rock and our refuge. Father, as we rejoice this night, will you continue to give us hearts that are full of praise and rejoicing as we go into the holiday tomorrow, as we spend time with family and friends, as we are able to enjoy that time of fellowship and enjoy the meals that are prepared. Father, will you cause your name to be lifted up in our conversation and our praises and our rejoicing to sound. Lord God, may you be the focus and may you be the joy of our hearts as we enjoy one another. We thank you, God, for your kindness. We thank you for your long suffering toward us. We thank you, Lord God, for sustaining each one of us individually through all matters of life. We thank you that you are continually with us. We thank you that you hold us with your right hand. We thank you, Lord God, that you counsel us by your Spirit through your word. And we thank you that afterwards, after all these things, Lord God, what do we expect and what can we anticipate but your glory? Lord, the fullness and consummation of your grace to us. Oh, Lord, we bless your name, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.